Welcome to this week's DBM Strategy Call, everyone. What a week it's been for macroeconomics, global regulation, and institutional digital asset adoption. If you've been watching the charts or the news tickers, things are moving at a breakneck pace. Sarah, where are we even starting today?
Well, John, we have to start with the absolute fire hose of liquidity that is flooding the global economy right now. According to Bloomberg, global money supply has just hit a historic record of $121.9 trillion. To put that into perspective, it has ballooned by $17.1 trillion in just the last 2 years alone.
That is a staggering amount of fiat. It's almost impossible to conceptualize.
It really is. And the underlying metrics show exactly how we got here. Let's break down the macro picture. US M2 liquidity sitting at an all-time high of $22.7 trillion. Bond issuance, a massive record-breaking $28.8 trillion in bond issuance is coming down the pipe here in 2026. Global debt, it's currently projected to hit a whopping 102% of global GDP by 2030. The bottom line, governments are essentially trying to print their way out of their fiscal corners. When fiat debasement accelerates like this, hard assets like Bitcoin become an institutional necessity, not just a retail speculative play.
Exactly. And if you want a case study on what happens when the bond market gets pushed to its limits, just look at Japan. This week, Japan's 30-year yield reached its highest level in history.
That is a massive deal for macro markets. The 20-year yield hit 3.32%. And the 10-year yield hit 2.52%, the highest we've seen this century for them.
And remember, Japan has historically been the world's largest buyer of debt. For decades, they accepted next to nothing yields. Now they're demanding higher returns. When Japan reprices its debt, the rest of the global bond market follows suit. It creates a domino effect that forces capital to seek alternative, uncorrelated assets.
Speaking of institutional shifts, let's pivot to Washington, because the regulatory landscape in the U.S. just had a watershed moment. The U.S. Senate Banking Committee officially approved the Clarity Act in a 15-9 vote, sending the bill to the full Senate floor.
This is the big one. The fight over the Clarity Act is ultimately a turf war over who controls the next generation of money movement. On one side, you have traditional banks fiercely resisting it. Under the proposed framework, yield-bearing stablecoins threaten the low-cost deposit model that powers legacy banking profitability and traditional lending. Why leave it in a checking account if people can hold dollars natively on-chain and earn stablecoin rewards?
Exactly. On the other side, crypto firms view stablecoin yield as the fundamental bedrock for programmable internet-native financial accounts. They want to compete globally with legacy banking rails.
And look at the immediate market reaction. Bitcoin ETFs recorded $131 million in inflows on Thursday alone, right as the Clarity Act cleared the committee. It begs the question, is this massive wave of capital a sign of what's to come once the bill fully passes the full Senate?
Quite possibly, and one to watch for those in the DBM community working to position themselves. And it's not just a U.S. phenomenon either. Across the pond, the Bank of England may be easing its stance on stablecoins. Following heavy industry pushback, the Financial Times reported that the BOE is re-examining its strict proposed restrictions on sterling stablecoins. As we recognized months ago, the wave of change from the U.S. regarding digital assets cannot be ignored.
Right. Deputy Governor Sarah Breeden noted the central bank is looking very hard at the rules, while Governor Andrew Biley issued a warning that global regulators could soon find themselves clashing with the U.S. over differing stablecoin standards. They realize that if they clamp down too hard, capital will simply migrate to friendlier jurisdictions.
And while out-of-touch regulators argue, Wall Street is just buying the dip. JP Morgan significantly boosted its Bitcoin ETF exposure despite the recent market pullback. This was a massive disclosure. JP Morgan revealed they now hold 8.3 million shares of BlackRock's IBIT, valued at roughly $390 million. That is a massive 174% increase in their position, which they quietly accumulated during a quarter where Bitcoin actually fell 22%.
It really dispels the narrative that institutions run for the hills during volatility. The big players are treating these drawdowns as accumulation windows.
They aren't the only ones buying proxies. Saudi Arabia's Gulf International Bank also increased its stake in MicroStrategy this week, proving that global institutional demand for Bitcoin-linked exposure is expanding regardless of short-term price action.
And the financial products supporting this are maturing rapidly. CME Group announced it will launch Nasdaq CME Crypto Index Futures on June 8th, pending final regulatory review.
Nasdaq CME Crypto Index Basket, as of May 2026, represents Bitcoin, Ethereum, Solana, XRP, Cardano, Chainlink, and Stellar Lumens. Owning the top 10 CoinMarketCap digital assets continues to make sense.
This is a major milestone because it will be the first market cap-weighted crypto futures contract on the market. Instead of managing risk across single tokens, institutions can trade a regulated, cash-settled basket of the seven largest digital assets.
It makes a ton of sense for risk management. Speaking of broad adoption, look at what's happening in the Middle East. Saudi Arabia is pushing hard to bring trillions of dollars on-chain, aggressively targeting the tokenization of its real estate sector. Faisal Manai, chairman of Drop RWA, shared that they've secured $12.5 billion in mandates and expect stablecoin-based real estate settlements to go live by late 2026. He expects Saudi Arabia to run a sovereign-grade tokenized financial system by 2030, right on cue for the project the DBM community has been nurturing over several years.
And over in Europe, Italy's biggest bank, Intesa Sanpaolo, just doubled its crypto exposure to $235 million in Q1 2026, up from $100 million at the end of 2025. With over $1 trillion in assets under management, they are now Europe's largest publicly disclosed bank allocator to crypto. While Brussels is asleep at the wheel, member countries are taking things into their own hands.
All this institutional infrastructure completely flies in the face of the old narrative that crypto is just a haven for illicit finance. A new report from Binance Research estimates that illegal crypto activity makes up less than 1% of total on-chain volume. Granted, more than $75 billion in illicit funds remained on-chain in 2025, which is up about 28%. But relative to the exploding total volume of the digital asset ecosystem, the criminal footprint is microscopically small compared to traditional cash illicit behavior.
Totally. The data speaks for itself. To wrap things up today, let's look at the broader economic landscape framing all of this. The U.S. tech sector has now lost jobs for 16 straight months.
Wow, that is the longest streak of tech layoffs since the 2008 financial crisis. It makes you wonder, are we starting to see the real structural consequences of the AI boom? Companies are aggressively cutting costs, restructuring, automating white-collar tech jobs, and looking for massive efficiency gains.
They are, and it creates a fascinating divergence. On one hand, traditional corporate tech employment is facing a structural contraction due to AI. On the other, the programmable on-chain financial ecosystem is scaling up to a multi-trillion dollar sovereign level. Capital is shifting to where the maximum efficiency lies.
It is, which is precisely why the DBM model is so powerful in providing people with access to ownership in the form of digital assets that then work toward equity, while at the same time providing owners with yield in the form of staking, royalties, nodes, and trade profits. We go into much more detail into the ways we have achieved this in part two of the DBM strategy call. See the show notes for live access each week, 11 a.m. UTC Mondays.
Oh, that is all the time we have for this week's DBM strategy call, part one. The macro printer is turned on, the regulatory foundation is being laid in the Senate, and Wall Street is buying the volatility. Be sure to position ahead of this seismic shift in how the world's fiscal and monetary rails work and take your sovereign part in owning the change. See you next time.